this puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsborough joins me now. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, it's unquestionable that railways were once the predominant form of transportation in Manitoba, and most of the major towns, at least the ones in southern Manitoba, were founded by railways. Railway infrastructure, things like tracks, bridges, buildings, and more, well, they remain a prominent aspect of Manitoba's heritage, yet many of them are in jeopardy, including one very rare type that we're going to discuss today.
So when we talk about railway heritage in Manitoba, how much do we mean?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, one that I wanted an answer to. So I turned to our database. The Manitoba Historical Society has a database of historic structures, and I hoped that it would provide an answer. And what I found was a total of 113 railway-related structures, but I am almost positive that this number is an underestimate because it doesn't include, for example, a lot of the old railway bridges. We just include the more prominent ones. But if you go to our database, it has 82 station buildings, 16 bridges, 5 engine houses, 4 locomotives, 3 water towers, and a partridge in a pear tree, 2 turntables, 1 powerhouse, and 1 section house.
What's a section house?
Yeah, well, to know, because there's other things that are called houses, and we normally think a house is a place of residence, but an engine house is not a residence. In this case, however, it is a residence. It's a residence building where a railway employee who was responsible for maintaining a particular section of track lived. That's why it was called a section house. Now, there were section houses all over the province, but I don't know how many of them are surviving today because, well, I think a lot of them were moved away from the tracks and have become people's homes. And because they were built as a home, well, you can't really tell if it was a section home or if it was originally someone's house. So we only know about one that is still standing, and it's in really rough shape. It's in the southeastern corner of the province. And, well, I wouldn't be surprised if even it's not with this world anymore because it was pretty shaky when I last saw it.
So did all those items you listed belong to either the Canadian Pacific or Canada National Railways?
Well, there's another interesting question because when I looked at our database and I categorized them by railway, I found that of the ones associated with the two major railways, Canadian National, Canadian Pacific, they collectively made up 96% of those 113 items. So, yes, those are the predominant ones. What's interesting, though, is that CN is much more prevalent. 60% of the remaining railway buildings or structures are CN. Only 36% are CP, and I don't know what that says, whether it's more likely that CN buildings were or other structures were to survive. I don't know what the basis for that would be. But there are other railways represented too. So yes, those two are the majority, but there were at least 4 other railways whose infrastructure survives today. So one of them is the former station for the Greater Winnipeg Water District. That was a railway that ran from St. Boniface to Shoal Lake, and its purpose was to maintain the Shoal Lake Aqueduct. So the old station building, which is a beautiful stone building, still stands. And again, it was part of this other railway that was a service-oriented one. There was a former bridge across the Assiniboine River just downstream of the city of Brandon. It was built by the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway, another major railway, but it's been gone so long, most people don't remember it. The Children's Museum here in Winnipeg, it's a former maintenance facility for something called the Northern Pacific and Manitoba Railway, a joint venture between the provincial government here and the Northern Pacific, which was an American railway. But my personal favorite of the 4, because I think it's just a little bit enigmatic, is a former bridge over the White Mud River that belonged to something called the Manitoba Eastern Railway. Now, you wouldn't necessarily know that it was a bridge. The deck of it is gone, so all it really is now are 4 huge concrete pillars in a row that span the river. But it was part of a 13-mile spur line that left the Canadian Pacific Main Line at Whitemouth, at, you know, the town of Whitemouth, and it went north to the Winnipeg River to the construction site of the Seven Sisters Generating Station. So the purpose of the railway was essentially to provide the construction materials for that project. So it started operating in 1928 as they were preparing to build Seven Sisters, and it was dismantled in the mid-1950s after the station was fully constructed. And you know, those bridge pillars are the only remnant of that railway, the Manitoba Eastern Railway, that I never heard of until I started, you know, delving into it.
You said there are 82 railway station buildings. I'm assuming that most of them are no longer in use.
You'd be generally right. You know, there are still four, as far as I know, that are in use as railway stations. Of course, here in Winnipeg, the VIA station over on Main Street is still a railway station, as are the ones in the Paw, Thompson, and Churchill, because, of course, they serve the railway that goes up to Churchill. But of the remainder, 26 are now associated with museums. Well, there's an appropriate thing, because how many people even have had an experience with a railway station? So seeing one in a museum makes sense. 24 have been turned into private residences. 9 are some kind of public space, maybe offices and other things. 3 used for storage, which sometimes is a euphemism for just putting people's junk. 2 are restaurants, and 14 are clearly vacant because they're really falling down. Most of these are, they say, in rough shape, and I think that precludes them from being repurposed.
Knowing your fascination, Gordon, with bridges like that one at Whitemouth, you said that there were 16 bridges, but that perhaps was an underestimate.
Yeah, and say because we don't include a lot of the less sort of impressive ones. You know, there are lots of them out there. I remember one time going out on a snowmobile ride in the vicinity of Larivere, and we found 3 old railway bridges that were pretty inconspicuous. We stopped to look at them because of my, you know, fascination, but I wouldn't necessarily think of them, and there's lots more like that. So, yes, a large number. But I also didn't include bridges that were former railway bridges but have been used for other purposes so long that we've forgotten that. So the Louise Bridge, which is one of the oldest bridges in Winnipeg, it is a former railway bridge that was converted to use by trucks and cars. And, you know, of the 16 bridges that we have in our database, over half are no longer in use because of railway abandonment. But being abandoned by a railway doesn't mean that they stop being useful. A case in point is the former railway bridge at the Forks. And that's one that really concerns me.
How come?
Well, the railway bridge at the Forks is noteworthy in a couple of ways. First, it has an enormous concrete counterweight that rises above the bridge deck, and its purpose was to facilitate raising and lowering the bridge when necessary so that ships could pass underneath on the Assiniboine River. And of course, it hasn't been used in a long time because, well, there aren't many ships that go down the river, and if they are, they're pretty small, they don't have a problem going underneath the bridge. Well, the Forks management has determined that the bridge is suffering structural problems, and they closed it to pedestrian traffic in mid-2023. They do plan to do some work on it, but the part of that work involves the removal of the counterweight as the first step in doing repairs. And, well, it sounds to me like they're not planning to replace that counterweight, which is, I think, a real shame, because it materially changes the look of the old bridge. And I have to wonder if they couldn't replace the counterweight with something modern that maybe is hollow, that isn't, you know, it isn't serving the purpose of a counterweight. It's simply a visual thing that makes the bridge look like the original one. So that's the first fast. The other problem is that we're going to lose a mural that is painted on the side of the counterweight. And as a side note, at one time, the Forks management had a heritage advisory committee to help them make sound decisions in this historically significant area. And we wonder if it wouldn't be a good idea to reestablish this committee to help make sound decisions like the, you know, return of the counterweight to this historically interesting bridge.
Good suggestion. Gordon, your introduction mentioned a very rare item that is in jeopardy. What is it?
Yep, and I'm referring to the railway turntable in Dauphin.
And I assume that turntable is not a device for playing records?
No, but the principle is the same. It's a device where a steam locomotive could be turned up to 360 degrees. You know, they'd go onto the turntable, it would turn, and then whatever direction it stopped, you'd drive off in that direction. And at one time, there were several turntables around Manitoba. The one at Dauphin was part of a maintenance facility of the Canadian National Railway. And if you look at the site from above, you see an unusual unusually shaped building. Well, to my mind, it looks like one third of a huge donut. I mean, you know, imagine a donut, cutting it in three pieces, taking two of those pieces away, and what you're left with is this building that stands in Dauphin. It's a former engine house where the railway mechanics would do routine maintenance on steam locomotives. And the house would have had several bays, each bay for a separate locomotive. And in order to get the locomotive lined up with each bay, they had this turntable to turn, and then they'd drive straight forward into one of these bays. Well, the building today is used as a maintenance building by the city of Dauphin, and they drive, you know, trucks and other things in and out of those former locomotive bays, and I guess they find that the turntable is just kind of in the way a little bit. It makes it hard to navigate around, and I guess they're maybe occasionally running into it or something. I don't really know for the detail there, but it is in risk because the city wants to get rid of it. They want to remove it. And the reason this concerns us is that this is the very last one in Manitoba. There was one at the Paw. Well, in fact, there were several, of course, but the last most recent one that we knew about was in the Paw. And sometime in the last decade, we don't know exactly when, it was removed. So this is the last one. So the Manitoba Historical Society that I'm involved with has sent a letter to the city of Dauphin proposing a solution, which is they cover over half of the turntable, the part nearest to the engine house, with some kind of stout cover so that trucks could, in theory, drive over top. So that basically it gives them half the width, of, at least, of the turntable for additional turning radius and stuff, but that it's still covered. And therefore, in theory, you know, let's say someday they decide they don't want to use that building anymore and they tear it down. Mm. Well, then they could remove the cover and there's the turntable. It could be part of a public park or something. Well, unfortunately, as yet, we have had no response from the city of Dauphin to our letter. You know, they almost like they want to just ignore it and hope that we just go away. So what I'm suggesting to our listeners is is anybody in the Dauphin area, please raise this concern with your municipal councillor. Tell them you think that the last remaining railway turntable, as a sign of the development of Manitoba, your turntables were essential to that whole process, we should keep the very last one. And so I'm hoping we can change some minds in Dauphin.
Keep us posted on that, Gordon.
I will.
What's up for next week?
Well, some of our older listeners will remember that in the 1960s, when you drove up in and out of Winnipeg along Pembina Highway or Portage Avenue, you encountered many of a particular kind of building, most of which have been demolished. Next week, we're going to discuss these buildings, what they represented, and we're going to consider an example that is not only still standing, but it's still in use for its original purpose. Stay tuned.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.